Blog Talk Radio. This podcast is brought to you by the Phantom Gallery Chicago Network, an artist-run project that exhibits in non-traditional gallery settings. The Phantom Gallery looks at how the city influences art and how artists transform the city by contributing to civic dialogue and quality of life. These installations produce creative conversations. I'm your host, Alpha Bhutan. Thank you for listening. Thank you. Today we're going to continue our part two conversation with artist William Paul. And he was part of the Soul Work exhibition, and this is a post-conversation regarding the artwork that was exhibited at the Evanston Arts Center on June 15th through July 5th. William, along with 10 other artists, exhibited work that was featured with diversity in mind. The exhibition was curated by Rose Cannon of Cannon Fine Art in collaboration with artist curator Fran Joy. And both of them brought a unique intersection of their skills and talent and expertise to bring renowned and emerging artists to the Evanston Arts Center. This was done during the time of the COVID-19. The post reception was recorded and Zoomed. And each artist was given a platform to talk and about their artwork during the opening artist talk, and which was very successful. We had like 89 artists that were able, viewers that were in the waiting room or participated in that call and listened to our conversation. I was one of the featured artists. I submitted artwork that talked about social justice issues with the Health and Human Services, Homeland Security, and the 100 children that are behind the, in the detention centers down by the border and other places in the United States. And I think that conversations like these are very important to have with our audiences. And so as such, we will be interviewing a series of artists that participated in Soul Work and giving them a post conversation about the exhibition. We're waiting for William to join our call, but in the meantime, I'm doing a couple of PSAs. The Evanston Arts Center has just had its inaugural year for the Curatorial Fellowship, where myself, Alpha Bhutan, and Adiro Knott, which is a co-curator, will be featured in a year-long exploration and will be interviewing artists during creative conversations. And we will have a series of art talks that Adiro Knott will be hosting. She will look and pair four emerging artists and four established artists and provide an intergenerational perspective through a series of art talks, which will explore issues of interest and concerns to artists and the Evanston art community, and offer young emerging artists and curators to share points of view on how to verbalize these views in their art practice. We'll also be launching a series of workshops on ceremonial teas featuring A.K. Larissa Johnson, and she will facilitate those workshops on February 15th and also May 1st. Good afternoon. Hello. William. We're finally on the line. So we have a few more minutes, and we're going to talk about part two. I was kind of doing a PSA about the Curatorial Fellowship that Evanston Arts Center has offered this year, and I, myself, and Adiro Knott are the recipients of that fellowship. So this is a series of creative conversations. Thank you. This is a series of conversations regarding that that fellowship that will be producing these shows weekly on Tuesday at 11 o'clock on Tuesdays is the time that we've scheduled Creative Conversations. So we're going to go into part two of your conversation. And again, if anything happens, because we're having some infrastructural problems with Blog Talk Radio, we hang up and we'll try it again.
Okay.
All right. And I think that we left off with the question that I was asking you about how your artwork intersects with your social responsibility as an artist. And basically, that question was, what responsibilities do artists have to display the times in their art, and how do artists impact their environment and contribute to the overall vitality of a city?
Yes, I think that, and sometimes you think about certain things like, okay, what happened? But anyway, I think that break helped expand a little bit of what else I want to contribute to that particular question or answer that question with, which is with where my studio is or in Savannah, there are very few artists of color who are visible like I am. My studio is right downtown Savannah, and it's a walk-in studio, so you get visitors from all over the country who come by and take a look at my work. And also I get a lot of local kids who come by, kids of color. And I felt that it was important to keep the studio, even though sometimes financially I felt like there was a little bit of a strain. But you realize that you're not there for yourself. You're there to also share and also introduce people who have thought about being an artist but never realized that I can do this till they see somebody who looks like them in the same positions or in places that are visible. Then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I can do this. I mean, I felt the same way when I first saw my art instructor's work when I first came to the United States and saw his huge portraits of African American women. And they looked simple, but they weren't simple to do. But I said, oh, I can do that. And that is because he was a person of color who influenced me and was able to give me direction. So I think that as artists, our work and what we do is not just for ourselves, but to let the community see us and be able to interchange and get ideas of where we're coming from, and we share ideas of where we're going with them, and they share ideas of what they expect from the community and how we can contribute. You know, there are a lot of things that we do directly or indirectly that affects all of us. And the direct way is to make sure that sometimes the kids can come by and just take a look at the work and do workshops that can show them that there is somebody who looks like them who's also making a change or painting them and the way they are. I try to paint us as we are, because if you caricature ourselves, then we get dumbed down and you don't feel that your full power is there. So if we paint us as who we are, that way people can look up and see you and feel the strength of what you're trying to share. And I try to do that in every image, because at the end of the day, when a piece goes up on the wall, you have to look at the piece and lift your head up. So you lift your head up, lift your chin up, and you lift your spirit up. And that way it helps you to feel a little bit prouder of who you are by seeing something that looks like you hanging on the wall.
I think that's a great response, to that question. And again, thank you for agreeing to do this podcast. And I just have one last question for you. How does the current body of work intersect with the ideas of art and social justice?
It intersects in all kinds of ways, because, you know, at the end of the day, when you work as an artist, you're committed to doing something that, for a long time, as people of color, we've been told that, you know, it's an expensive thing. It's also something that sometimes you starve at. You know, there's always been this whole saying of starving artists. You know, so there's this mentality that your family or your people have to be financially well off to be able to allow you that privilege to just paint or just go sit down and just create. And so people who struggle like us and who tell stories about ourselves, we can only tell the stories from our perspective. Somebody who does not look like us can tell a little bit of the story, but cannot really fully tell the story about who we are, the pain, the suffering, the energy, and all these things that we go through. Seeing Floyd, seeing all these kids, you know, you saw Trayvon Martin, you see all these people who have gone through all these killings, and somebody can paint it, but to really show that emotional energy and to be able to turn around and also figure out a way to live and communicate well with the powers that be, vis-a-vis the police, the social system, them and all this stuff, to find a commonality, we have to make them see us as humans first and then also understand that, hey, we all want the same thing. And to share our stories well and not make anybody feel like we're a threat to them, but we're just trying to make you see that our lives matter as people of color. And the way to do it is to do it in such a way that it's a story about us, not about them, but about us and how we're crying deep inside and hope that somebody can hear us. Answers the question fully, or? Hello?
You did answer the question, and you answered it, you know, from the heart, you know, and that heart, that how you expressed it from the heart is also expressed in your art, and that's why people are very moved when they see your artwork. And I was very moved because now I know, you know, the spirit that went into the work, and it's the spirit of your heart and how you feel about, you know, humanity. But because we're having
technical difficulties
with podcast live streaming today, I hope that you come back, you know, for to continue our conversation on soul work.
Definitely.
And talk a little
bit more
about, you know, your new work and where you go from here. So we're going
to
close out this episode now.
This podcast is brought to you by the Phantom Gallery Chicago Network, an artist-run project that exhibits in non-traditional gallery settings. The Phantom Gallery looks at how the city influences art and how artists transform the city by contributing to civic dialogue and quality of life. These installations produce creative conversations. I'm your host, Alpha Bhutan. Thank you for listening.
All right.